Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much.
And welcome to today's GNSO Council call. Welcome especially to those, I guess, on particularly awkward time zones, although that happens to the best of us sometimes. I know on the West Coast it's very early. I'm not sure who else is suffering, but welcome everyone regardless of the time zone you're on. And welcome to ICANN staff and councillors alike, in particular Marika, who I hear has managed to join us in spite of being on holiday. So thanks, everyone. Let's commence immediately with a roll call. Please, Glenn.
Thank you, Jonathan. Jeff Newman is absent, and he has given his proxy to Ching Chow. Ching?
Present.
Jonathan Robinson?
Present.
Mason Cole?
Present.
I do not yet see Yoav Kieran on the call, but perhaps he will join later. Volker Greiman?
Present.
Thomas Rickett is not yet on the call either. Zaid Jamil?
I'm here.
John Berra?
I'm here.
Ryan Winterfeld?
Present.
Peter Rindfors?
Present.
Oswaldo Norway is not on the call yet. Maria Farrell?
Present.
Audrey Snowden?
I'm present.
Wendy Seltzer is on her way to her office, so she will join us a bit late. David Cake?
Present.
Magali Pazello?
Present.
Joelie Kurt?
I'm here.
Wolfgang Kleinbechter?
I'm here.
Lanre Ajayi?
Present.
Jennifer Wolf?
Present.
Alan Greenberg, ALAC liaison?
Present.
Patrick Miles, CCNSO liaison?
I'm present.
And for staff, we have David Olive, Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, Julie Headland, Rob Hogarth, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, Carlos Reyes, Corey Schultz, our technician, and myself, Glenda Saint-Gerie. Have I left off anybody? May I just remind you, please, to say your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And thank you, Jonathan. It's over to you.
Thanks, Glenn. Our second item on the agenda, as usual, is to call for any updates to statements of interest. So I'll call for that right away, please, if I could call for any updates to statements of interest. Hearing none, I'll move on to 1.3. That is the opportunity to review or amend the agenda. Any comments or input on the agenda, please?
Jonathan, this is John Berard.
John, go ahead, please.
Is Thomas just late coming to the meeting, or has he sent his regrets today? Because I do want to hear, I think our discussion on the protection of IGO and INGO names is important going into Buenos Aires.
Thanks, John. Good point. Actually, I will ask staff now to please reach out to both Thomas Rickert, who I have no indication is not intending to attend the meeting, and Yoav, who I had every indication prior to the meeting that he was planning to attend. So I'm slightly concerned that one or both of them has been caught up by at least the change to of the clocks. Thanks, John. So hopefully we can get Glenn to reach out to them.
I will do that.
Bring them up to the call as soon as possible. Any other comments on the agenda? All right, hearing none, I'll go on to 1.4, which notes the status of the minutes from the previous council meeting as per our operating procedures. And they have, in fact, been circulated to all of them. Right, moving on to item two then, which is an opportunity to provide any opening remarks or review the projects and action list. I've got a couple of comments and input on the action list, and then I'll solicit any others. The first item deals with our planning for Buenos Aires, and we'll come to that later in the meeting. The next item deals with the prospective GNSO review, which, as you will be aware, was proposed to be postponed, and then public comment was taken, and there's now been a decision to commence with that review next year. I have been in contact with Ray, who is the chair of the Structural Improvements Committee of the Board, to talk with him about his intentions there. They are working on it at the moment, and as far as I understand it, looking at a structure for all of the reviews going forward, of which, as far as I understand, the GNSO review will be the first. So I think it's work in progress. I hope we'll be able to hear more from Ray and or the Structural Improvements Committee in the next few weeks ahead of Buenos Aires and be able to talk about this a little more on the weekend session. So that's my update on that, and you'll see that, that's pretty much reflected in the action item on that. On that point. As far as the next item is concerned, the BGC recommendation on reconsideration request 13.3, I think we've pretty much dealt with all of that, and in particular I would like to draw your attention to the fact that, you know, we did originally write to the Board Governance Committee, and most significantly that in the output from the ATRT2, someone help me here. I believe it's the draft report that's up for public comment at the moment. In any event, they specifically deal with a recommendation. I think it's 9.2 to deal with review or a revisiting of the reconsideration processes. So my opinion is, and if I don't hear any sort of contradiction to that, that this item is largely and substantially dealt with. So I think we can strike this off the reconsideration request. We've got the attention of the appropriate attention of the new PTLD program committee, the board, and the ATRT on the design. So moving on then to other items in the action list, the PDP improvements. I'll just draw your attention to the fact that Marika's updated that table, and we'll come back to that again with Alpha from the ATRT2. And then on the next item, which is dealing with the charter for the SCI, the Standing Committee on Improvements to the GNSO, well, we have that item on our agenda, but a reminder here that the open item in that is primarily, at least going forward, is all about whether or not the decision-making methodology is changed there, and that's in and around the consensus, and that's something we still need to deal with. Finally, we have an item on policy issues surrounding string confusion, which again will come to in the course of the main agenda. So I think that's a whistle-stop tour through the action list and the key items. I'll pause here and ask if there's any comment or input on that, on the action list as it stands, and the updates and the plan to remove item 3, which is the BGC recommendation reconsideration request point. Okay, hearing none, I think we can move on to the next item in the agenda. We don't have any items for the consent agenda, and I know that there is...
Sorry, there's a problem activating the card. Just a moment, and I'll transfer you everyday team member.
Sorry, we had an interruption on the line there. That looks like it's gone.
Monitoring
up.
Purposes.
We move on to the next set of items, which is the motions before the council. I know, having had discussion outside of this council meeting, that Yoav has a substantial point to make on item 4, and so I propose to defer discussing that until we've dealt with the other motions and other such that we can give Yoav the opportunity to join the call. As I say, I don't have an explanation for why he is not on the call at this stage, so I suggest we move ahead to item 5, which is the motion on the adoption of the policy process. So this is our second motion. I'll just wait till that becomes shared on the right, so this is the adoption of the Thick Who Is policy development process, final report and recommendations, a motion that's been made by Volker Greiman and seconded by Brian Winterfeld. So if Volker, if you could go ahead, please, and make the motion.
Just a second. Let me draw that up. Should I read Olivier Weyers as well? Or...
I think it's sufficient for you to just read the resolve clauses unless anyone has any objections.
Hearing none, now therefore be it resolved that the GNSO Council recommends to the ICANN Board of Directors the adoption of Thick Who's recommendations as detailed in section 7.1 of the final report, with a link to that report. Second, the GNSO Council shall convene a Thick Who's implementation review team to assist ICANN staff in developing the implementation details for the new policy should it be approved by the ICANN board. The implementation review team will be tasked with evaluating the proposed implementation of the policy recommendations as approved by the board and is expected to work with ICANN staff to ensure that the resultant implementation fulfills the intentions of the approved policy recommendations. If the implementation review team identifies any potential modifications to the policy recommendations or need for new policy recommendations, the implementation review team shall refer those to the GNSO Council for its consideration and follow up as appropriate. Following adoption by the ICANN board of the recommendations, the GNSO Secretariat is authorized to issue a call for volunteers for a Thick Who Is implementation review team to the members of the Thick Who Is working group.
Thank you, Volker. It's customary to move on to discuss the motion now, and I understand that you may have some form of update for the Council in the form of a couple of slides or something to kick off the discussion. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great. Why don't you go ahead and provide that update or that input, and then on the back of that we can call for any other comments or questions to discuss this. Thanks, Volker.
Next slide, please. Okay, here we go. Mainly, I don't want to go through what the previous updates that the Council has already received on the work of the working group, just as a brief summary. The working group was mainly concerned with the question of whether Thick Whois should be made a general recommendation for all GTLDs, and that if the registries that are currently under Thin Whois should also manage the Whois in a thick way, i.e. In a registry controlled way. The working group has deliberated the advantages and disadvantages of Thick versus Thin Whois and has come to the conclusion that Thick Whois would be a general adoption of Thick Whois would be preferential to the variation at this time. Recently, as an update to the previous updates, we have reviewed all the comments that have been received. We have achieved full consensus on the report and its recommendations and published our final report on October 21st with the recommendation that the provision of Thick Whois services with a consistent labeling and display as per the model outlined in Specification 3 of the 2013A should become a requirement for all GTLD registries, both existing and future. Next slide, please. We have taken into consideration since the last update a couple of new issues which are included now because of the public comments and the notification of the ICANN board. We have undertaken, we have requested that the ICANN staff undertake legal review of law applicable to the transition of data from thin to thick WHOIS models, especially with a background of privacy issues that may be at stake during that model, because the working group recognized that it did not have sufficient legal expertise to make that determination itself, and that would be mainly an implementation issue rather than a policy issue. So this was delegated to staff to initiate a legal review and make that. Next slide, please. Finally, the next steps. The GNSO Council should consider the recommendations. I think everybody has had the opportunity to read up on the recommendations in the final report. And if and when it's adopted, there should be a public comment prior to board consideration. And that's what I have.
Thank you, Volker. Can I call for any discussion or questions on the motion or the subject matter of the motion? Any comment or input on this THICWHIS PDP final report and recommendations? Thank you, Volker. I'm hearing none, so I think we can take this.
It's Alan. My hand is up on my side. I don't know if it is on your side.
Come up now. Alan, there was a minor delay. Please go ahead.
It's too early in the morning for the hand. There was, on the work group, there was significant discussion about the recommendation to request a legal review, and the feedback we got at one point was that at some level, the kind of legal review the group was asking for was beyond the scope of what ICANN Legal Services could likely do in a reasonable time and at a reasonable cost. And I guess I'd like some input from ICANN staff as to why this version is now acceptable. I'm just a little bit worried that we are asking for something which is going to trigger a long, very long and complex process. And do we have assurance that that is not the case? Thank you.
Is anyone in a position to respond to the sort of, the, I guess, Alan's question on the efficacy of the process of the legal review in and around this transition? Any comments? Thank you, Marika. Go ahead, please.
Marika, maybe just to know, because I think our main concern before was the general counsel to that was currently written as to being a legal review, basically gives us the flexibility buying house, or do we need to engage a third party to look at this? Also, the working group looks at the information that has been provided to the EWG, and there's already quite substantial information in books about, you know. So from our perspective, I think that's something we can build on, and hopefully, indeed, that wouldn't be a mistaking, unless, of course, you know, something part of that further investigation. But I think at least the language as currently written made it more comfortable for us, and the specifically asked the Office of the General Counsel to take such a review, because we try to explain that's not really within the remit of the General Counsel to, you know, provide legal advice to third parties. They look more at, you know, are the policies in direct contradiction policy? Does it affect ICANN as a corporation aspect that needs to be significant, not the kind of legal review I think the working group. So I hope that.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Marika. The audio was a little broken up there. I think I understood you to be saying that you had reasonable comfort that something could be done within the scope of the wording as it stands, but it is quite clear that this is not within the scope of ICANN's internal legal function. Are there any other comments or questions before we take this motion to the vote? I'll pause a moment to see what comes up in the chat, and if there is nothing more substantial, then we will go to vote. All right. So I hear no other comments. I see no other hands in the Adobe, and so let us take this to a vote. Let me try a voice vote and see if there are is anyone intending to vote against the motion. Is anyone intending to abstain from the motion? Hearing no comments to vote against and no to abstain, I'll ask for all those in favour to say aye.
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 Thank you, Glenn. If you could record that there were no votes against, no abstentions, and therefore those present have voted the motion.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, and I just would like to note that Osvaldo Nova and Johan Kieran are not on the line as far as I know, nor on the Adobe Connect.
Then it is possible that they can, that for this particular subject, that absentee voting is possible, so I think we should reach out to them and for the record obtain a record of their votes. So if you could please do that, that would be great.
I'll do that, Jonathan. Thank you.
Right, moving on to the next item then. That's item 6 on your agenda, which is to approve the charter for the Standing Committee on GNSO Improvements Implementation, and that motion is made for us by Wolf Ulrich, who is himself a member of the Standing Committee. Wolf Ulrich, I think if you could please make the motion by providing any brief comments on the background and moving to the resolved clauses, that would be great.
Yes, thank you. Wolf Ulrich speaking. So we had this item with regard to the Standing Committee of Improvement Implementation several times on the council agenda, and you know that the content of that motion is regarding the amended charter of the Standing Committee. The background was because of there was a change in the leadership of the SCI, and with that change also that we were thinking about, okay, after 2 years, whether the charter is still up to date with regards to the tasks and with regards to the task well already done and to be done in the future. So we revised that charter, and with regards especially to task and to the election procedure for the chair and the vice chair. These are two major items, and we were discussing the decision-making process, as you know, and this, since we could not find a consensus, let me say, on the to amend or to leave the decision process as it was, then we turned to the council and asked for input from that side. So this is still an open item to be discussed and to feedback to the SCI with regard to the decision-making process. We have the two alternatives to decide: either the working group model, along the working group model, or with full consensus as it is at the time being. So this part regarding the decision making process is then in the charter still open. Let me just read for you this this paragraph in the charter, which means decision making, unless otherwise determined by the SEI members, committee decisions will be made by, and in brackets there is still full consensus process, but there's a comment to that which is under consideration by the GNSO Council, as described in the GNSO Working Group guidelines. So this is the paragraph which is still in the charter, and which would mean if we now here in the Council wouldn't come to a decision with regards to that consensus process, we can do that, we can discuss it, and we can also insert what we mean, what should be inserted, then we can do that. Or if we cannot come to a decision, then it would be open until the Council has discussed that, and the term would be in would leave in brackets. So now let me read just the result of this motion. It says the GNSO Council thanks the SEI for its work to date, and second, the GNSO Council approves the revised SEI charter at, and there is a link, which will replace the previous charter effective immediately upon adoption of this motion. And third, the GNSO Council appoints, and then in brackets confirm name, as a GNSO Council liaison to the Standing Committee on GNSO Improvements Implementation. That's a motion. Let me just comment to the third part of the motion, appointing a GNSO liaison to the SEI. There is no name not yet in front of. I would say that's my personal proposal. Since the council is to be seated, there will be a new council from Buenos Aires. The council should take into consideration new members of the council from Buenos Aires by naming a liaison. And personally, so it's my personal suggestion for that, to suggest as the liaison then Mikey O'Connor. But this is my personal suggestion. There may be others. There are other SEI members, also members to the council, and it's open well to suggest any name. So far
thank
from my side.
Much,
thank you, Jonathan.
That's a good point, actually. And although we could put a liaison forward at this stage, if there was a volunteer, it may well be appropriate to wait until we have the new council in place and see if anyone either is particularly appropriate or particularly keen. So if existing councillors could bear this in mind, but let's perhaps take that until such time as we are 100% clear on who the new councillors are going to be post Buenos Aires, and seek to complete that square brackets with a volunteer. And just to remind everyone that it would be good to resolve this decision-making process one way or another. So I guess that leaves us with two open items relating to this this area of work, and that is the liaison and the decision-making process. John Berard, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead, John.
Right. So I wonder if you can help clear up some confusion that I have now, I'm now confronted with. So when we first discussed turning the SCI into a real standing committee as opposed to just one in name, which is thoroughly confusing to the naked eye, it was because we felt a need for continuous improvement of the policies, practices, and procedures of the GNSO Council. The idea was that this would be groundbreaking because we would be creating a committee that is a creature of the GNSO Council, but that the need for continuous improvement was so important that we felt we wanted to take that step. In that instance, or if that's the case, and please correct me if I'm wrong, then we don't really need a GNSO council liaison because the committee itself is a creature of the committee of the council, as if it were a committee of the board. So I'm a little confused that we're using the wrong metaphor here. And, you know, it's not a working group; it is a committee of the council. Certainly, in using with members on the council, but focus specifically to deal with requests from the council for review of our policies, practices, and procedures. So I guess I'm a little confused, and I would love for someone to help clear it up.
Well, Ulrich, I see your hand is up probably in response to this. Please go ahead.
Yes, Ulrich speaking. John, you are right, I think, in both on both sides. So as you described and what we wanted here from the council to establish or to fix that committee as a committee of the council, that's okay, fully okay. On the other hand, from the committee's point of view, I think it's just the role of a liaison here is to be seen as a somebody who is, you know, who is on both parts, who is on council and on the committee, and who can, if it comes up at the council, some questions with regarding to the committee or with regarding to some tasks which should be provided to the committee, could immediately refer and could reflect on that and could answer on that. So I don't see. So that's my understanding of the role of this liaison, so more from a practical point of view. Thanks.
And if I might, you know, my view is that because of if my recollection is correct, then I say that the chair of the standing of the SCI ought to be a member of the council, and they're therefore obviate the need for a liaison. But that's my view, just one man's opinion.
So that's definitely not the case. And if you look at the charter and the voting procedure of election of the chair, so there is no need, seeing that the chair of the committee should be a member of the council. So that's not the case. So as you can see, also Ron Andrew, at the time being as a chair, he's not a member of the council. So this is the situation. So there is no need to be as chair as member of both parts. Thanks.
It's Jonathan speaking. I guess my perspective on this is that if one makes a reference to something like the board, where the board has subcommittees, those subcommittees with specific functions are typically made up of board members. In this case, this is not a subcommittee of the council, but rather a separate group chartered by the council with a specific function. I agree with you, closely related to a drive to produce ongoing improvement. So to that extent, in principle at least, although I would hope it would be unlikely, the SCI could comprise of substantially of members outside of the council, and to Wolf's point, there's a requirement for someone who we can rely on from the council who will always be that conduit in place. That's the difference I would see to, you know, a subcommittee or some other analogous body.
Jonathan, this is Zahid. I'm not on the Adobe. Can I get in the queue?
Please go ahead, Zahid. There's no one else in the queue, so go right ahead.
Yes, I'm.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to say that I think this recording back, and of course for transparency, as you know, I've sort of put my name forward if there's a need for a liaison, because I will not be on the council as of Buenos Aires. There are two things come to mind. One, someone who needs to be intimately aware of how the GNSO works has to be somebody who is able to work with existing counselors and the council itself. And the amount of time that will have to be devoted to this activity will require that person to work closely or at least listen in and be available to the GAC to take back questions. And I think that, as you said, Jonathan, is a very different role than being in the FCI, which looks at improvements, et cetera. And I think there is a distinction to be made there or had there. So what you want to do, that does need is someone who will be available to take these, you know, issues back and forth between the GAC and the GNS. So it has to be someone who is very intimately aware of how the council internally works. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Waheed, thanks. I think there may be we may be talking slightly at cross purposes here about two different roles.
Currently,
the topic is on the liaison from to and from the GNSO Council to the Standing Committee on Improvements. Not that.
I apologize. Sorry.
No problem. And it's something which is. I mean, we do need to discuss further at some point that liaison to the GAC, and so and it hasn't gone away. Unfortunately, we haven't made a lot of progress on that, but let's not go down that route for the moment. Now I think we're talking about the liaison to the FBI. So, Ulrich, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, thanks. Jonathan, well, just for clarification, what the SEI's role is. So the SEI, so if you look at the charter, is responsible to review the effective functioning of the GNSO procedures, GNSO procedures and working group guidelines. So there is a role not just with regards to the council. As you said, Jonathan, well, it's chartered and it's to be chartered by the council, but it has a role with regards to the GNSO. GNSO procedures, GNSO working group guidelines. So that is why the members come from the GNSO, not just from the council. And there is no need seen, so that the leader of this group, of this committee, is the one who should come from the council. So the understanding is he should come from the GNSO. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for that input. I don't sense that we can that it will make a substantial difference now. I mean, we have the charter in its current form. There's clearly two items within the one within the motion, that is the liaison, and second within the charter itself to resolve, which is the decision making. But we had decided that. That we would move ahead with voting on the charter in any event and continue to consider and ideally resolve one way or another as soon as possible this issue on the decision making. So I'm not seeing any other comments or questions coming up in the chat, in which case Wendy, I see your comment on the chat is that decision making isn't resolved. I think, Wendy, my understanding is there's a position in the charter which reverts to the default, and the default is the previous decision-making process, and we have accommodated a future change subject to a council decision on that. So I don't think that precludes us voting on the charter, which retains the previous decision-making process subject to a future council-initiated change.
In that case, I'll put on the record that I believe the non-commercial stakeholders support full consensus and would not want to see that changed. So I'm not sure why we have the reference to pending potential future changes.
Thanks, Wendy. As you see, Wolf put in the chat that the default voting is on full consensus. We just didn't go through any form of formal decision making to close that item. So it's something which is technically still open, and I think it's something I would like to bring to a head. But we're not in a position to do that right now. I take your point, and it's great that you have put that on record, and I'm sure you'll bring that up as and when we look at the possibility of changing this. All right. So noting that point from Wendy. Wendy, your hand's still up, so, thanks very much. If I could move to now vote on the motion to approve the charter. This requires a 50% of both houses, so I think we'll take this as a we'll take this as a recorded vote. So, Glenn, if you could take a roll call on the vote for this, I would appreciate that.
I will, Jonathan. Thank you. Wolf Ulrich Knobin?
Yes.
David Kay?
Yes.
Maria Farrell?
Yes.
Ryan Winterfeld?
Yes.
Mason Cole?
Yes.
Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
Jin Chao for Jeff Newman?
Yes.
Thomas Rickett?
Yes.
Magali Pavello?
Yes.
Can you call for yourself?
Yes.
Bay Jamil? Said?
Somebody was on mute. Yes.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes.
Peter Rindfors?
Yes.
Osvaldo Nova is absent. And there is no proxy for Osvaldo as far as I know. Joy Lippi Coach? Sorry, you did say yes. John Berard?
I voted, actually hadn't voted, but I will vote yes.
Thank you. John Berard?
Yes.
Volker Grauman?
Yes.
Johannes Karen is absent. And as far as I know, there is no proxy for Johannes. Lanre Ajayi?
Yes.
David Cake, Wolfgang Kleingester?
Yes.
So we have a total of 6 yes votes for the contracted party house, taking into account that Johannes Karen is absent, and we have 12 yes votes for the non-contracted party house, taking into account that Osvaldo Nova is absent. So the motion carries, Jonathan.
Then can you just check before closing it that if Yoav has now joined the call or not?
I will check, and he's just joined this moment, so may I take the vote from him?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, sorry. Guys, just let me know what I'm voting on.
Yeah, this is on the motion to approve the charter for the Standing Committee on GNSO Improvements Implementation. And so the question is whether to approve the modified charter and all that entails.
Okay, so this is I'm voting yes.
Thank you very much, Joab. So we have in the contracted party house now 7 positive votes, 7 yes votes, And in the non-contracted party house, we have 12 yes votes. Osvaldo Nova, as far as I know, is still not on the call. So the motion passes, Jonathan. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn. If you could put that into the record as such. I understand absentee
yes.
voting is not possible on this, so that the record of the voting will stand as it's now recorded.
Yes, thank you.
Next up is item 7, a motion which deals with a charter for proxy and privacy services accreditation, PDP Working Group. We have this motion made by Brian Winterfeld, and as I understand it, we have yet to have someone second this motion. So if I could call for a second to the motion on the Charter for the Proxy and Privacy Services Accreditation, PDP, please.
I second it.
Could you identify yourself, please?
Volker Greimann, I am seconding this motion.
Thank you, Volker. So, Brian, if you could proceed to take us forward with making the motion.
Certainly. The Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or the RAA, is the contract that governs the relationship between ICANN and its accredited registrars, as well as the terms of maintaining accreditation to register domain names. Although the RAA has been the subject of substantial negotiation and revision between ICANN and RRSG, a final 2013 RAA was finally approved on June 27, 2013 by the ICANN Board of Directors. However, the ICANN Board resolution that initiated the RAA negotiations also initiated GNSO issues report and PDP on any remaining issues now that negotiations are concluded. On September 18, 2013, ICANN policy staff delivered that report clarifying and identifying any unresolved RAA issues, namely privacy and proxy services accreditation. Indeed, during ICANN 47 in Durban, South Africa, ICANN's director of registrar programs opined most of these issues that we felt were better subject to a PDP were related to the privacy and proxy service specification in the RAA. The accreditation and regulation of privacy and proxy registration providers is important to registry operators and registrars who wish to provide such services, as well as brand owners who arguably can be said to hold proxy registrations through their corporate registrars and trademark counsel. Upon review of the report and consideration during the October 10, 2013 GSO Council Conference, the council debated options for adopting or amending a draft working group charter provided by the ICANN staff. Ultimately, whether the draft charter is amended or not, it will appear before the council for a vote during the teleconference. So that's basically kind of a summary of what we wanted. So I will go ahead and read. So I just need to read the whereas, or should I read the whereas person?
Brian, I think we're working on reading simply the resolve clauses. You've given us some good background there, and I just make a personal note of thanks for the pragmatism shown to recognize the draft charter as prepared by staff, in spite of the fact that I know some on the council have reservations about this method. It does provide a pragmatic way of moving forward fast, which is, of course, another consideration in all of this. So, Brian, please go ahead and read the resolve clauses.
The GNSO Council approves the charter and appoints Blank as the GNSO Council liaison to the RAA Privacy and Proxy Service Accreditation Issues PDP Working Group. The GNSO Council directs ICANN staff to issue a call for volunteers for the PDP Working Group no later than 7 days after the approval of this motion. Until such time as the Working Group selects a chair for the Working Group and the chair is confirmed by the GNSO Council, the GNSO Council liaison to the Working Group shall serve as interim chair.
Thanks, Brian. Can I call for any comments or discussion on the motion? I see I've got Volker and Alan in the queue, so please go ahead, Volker Greimann.
Yes, Volker Greimann speaking. As you may know, this is one of the topics that we, during the negotiations with ICANN staff for the new RAA, felt that this was not something that should be decided in a bilateral discussion, and therefore requested that this be delegated to a PDP. As for the form in which this charter has been drafted originally, we had some reservations because it didn't undergo the formal PDP drafting process and was in fact prepared by staff. This was a bit of a concern, but talking to all the parties involved, I think we feel that this is something that we can get behind as registrars. As you also know, we have currently in the RAA a temporary specification which only applies to services offered and provided by registrars and its affiliates. This would the accreditation program, as it's chartered to be drafted now, would potentially replace that and bring a solution that would be applicable to the entire marketplace. And this is also something that we actually desire as registrars, a level playing field and rules that apply to everyone who's selling domain names.
Thanks, Volker. Alan.
Thank you. The resolution makes reference to this being the last of the unresolved issues. That's a reference to the issues that came out of an ALAC GNSO committee or group that struck after the 2009 RA was created. And I'll note that this is the last of the items deemed high priority. There were other items that came out of that committee that were not deemed to be in the high priority category that still potentially could and maybe in the future be resolved. So I don't know whether the resolution needs to be reworded, but it should be noted that this is not the last of the unresolved items. It's the last of those deemed high priority. Thank you.
So thanks, Alan. Are you actually suggesting that the motion should be reworded, or are you happy that it is simply recorded that is the last of the high priority items?
My preference is that it be changed, because in the future someone may look at this resolution and not necessarily delve into the background. The documents that have been produced are a little confusing, because in preparation for this issue report that is driving this, all of the recommendations of that committee were reviewed and discussed, and it's less than I had a discussion with Margie on this past week, and it was less than clear to both of us why some of the other items were not there. So yes, I would prefer to see it referenced as a high priority, if that's not friendly to both the motion, the mover and the seconder. I accept that, but it would be preferable.
I ask for a response from either from Brian as the maker of the motion. I see your hand is up, Brian, so please go ahead.
Brian Winterfeld, IPC. I would definitely consider that a friendly amendment.
Volker, seconder of the motion, are you able to respond to that as well, please?
Yes. No objections from my side either.
Thank you, Volker. Thank you, Brian. So, staff, if we could record that the motion we are now voting on has that amendment to the last of the high priority items. And councillors, if you could note that that's what you are voting on, that motion, as per the friendly amendment proposed by Alan.
Jonathan, technically I can't propose that, so let's presume it's proposed by one of the movers.
Understood, Alan. Brian, if you could confirm that you are happy to propose that as a friendly amendment to your own motion, if you like.
Yes.
Thanks. It's just getting that on record.
Thank you.
All right. I see no other hands up then in the... Wendy, I see your hand has come up. Please go ahead.
So I have some concerns about this, despite some of my changes being incorporated into the draft charter. In particular, the scope of the charter seems quite broad and is requiring people joining this prospective group to do a lot of work and giving them scope to do some things that I think would be quite dangerous in privacy and proxy accreditation. I would oppose many of the things, giving them the power to adopt requirements along the lines of some of the things that that are countenanced in the many questions in the draft charter. So I would be much more comfortable with a more narrowly scoped group that, you know, we could both assure would conclude in finite time and finite resources from its participants, and that we'd have some reasonable understanding of what we expected to come out on the other side, matching expectations that privacy and proxy services would continue to be able to protect the privacy of registrants, not just give up information at the drop of a hat. So I'm still uncomfortable with the proposed draft charter and would prefer to see the product of a drafting team that could narrow it.
Thanks, Wendy. Are there any other comments or responses to Wendy's input, please? I note also that we need... Alan, is your hand up from previously? If so, please could
no,
you...
No, I'm sorry. That's a mistake.
All right. So I see I've got Mary possibly in response to this. Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's not so much a response, but by way of background and reminder for everyone, and I know I've said this elsewhere before, but just two things. One is that, as I think many people know, ICANN itself has already committed to creating a privacy and proxy accreditation program. That was done prior to this. It would be a chance for the GNSO to contribute to creating that program, what it should look like, what features, and so forth. And, of course, the other point is that it's something that Volk has said, that there is a spec in the current RAA or the new RAA, but that expires, so there is a drop-dead date for this. So I just wanted to remind the Council of those two background facts. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. I hope that came across clearly to everyone. It was a slight hitch in the audio as you spoke. We have a charter that's been drafted by staff. I mean, we've taken a pragmatic approach. We've modified it. I hear Wendy's concerns, but I think we've been round that cycle. And I guess my thought on this is that I would believe we should proceed to still vote on the charter, but encourage active input into the PDP working group in order to shape it and of course deal with the kind of concerns that Wendy's raised. So I'll pause for a moment to hear if there are any other comments or input, and failing that, I suggest we vote on the charter as it stands. Maria.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Maria. If this motion is carried, I would like to volunteer as the GNSO Council liaison to the working group.
Thank you, Maria. That would be great. My only reservation is whether you are going to. I hope this is, but I understood that you may not be continuing on the council post Buenos Aires, so that would be my only reservation.
No, it's Maria again. I'm just have finished 1 year of what I think is a three-year term, so I will be continuing.
Apologies, I got a wire crossed somewhere, so that's great. Thank you for volunteering then. And I don't know where I got that from, but great. That's good news, and thank you for volunteering. So unless we have any other volunteers, I suggest we accept Maria's gracious offer. All right, great. Can we please move this motion to a vote? And given that it may be contentious, I suggest we take a roll call on this one as well, please, Glenn.
Thank you, Jonathan. Osvaldo Nova is not here, so he's marked as absent. Jeff Newman, Ching Chao, will you please vote for Jeff?
From what I hear, that Ching Chao has currently a problem with staying connected due to an earthquake where he is.
Oh. Can we have another proxy, or is that not allowed?
Then while your colleagues on the staff consider that, I suggest we move on through the roll call and come back to Ching.
Thank you.
He joins us, and or there is an alternative.
Lee Pazulo? Magali? Magali, are you online?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Wendy Salsa?
Regretfully, yes.
Maria Farrell?
Yes.
Lanre Jai?
Yes.
John Berard?
Yes.
Brian Winterfeld?
Yes.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter?
I would with yes, but I would encourage all members to take Wendy's comments into consideration.
Thank you. Joseph Kieran?
King's vote while he's present, please, because I understand
yes.
He's not present, and therefore it would be worthwhile
thank
grabbing
you. Ching Chao, will you please vote for Jeff Newman?
Yes, I vote for yes. Thank you.
Thank you. And for yourself, you vote?
Yes, as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ching. Zai Jamil?
Yes.
David Cake?
Yes.
David, are you on the
yes.
line? Thank you. Joy Lidicote?
I abstain.
Abstain, thank you. Thomas Rickert?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes.
Mason Cole?
Yes.
Volker Greimann?
I vote yes.
Peter Rindforth?
Absolutely yes.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes.
So we have 7 positive votes in the contracted party house. And in the non-contracted party house, we have 11 positive votes, 1 person abstained, and 1 person is absent. So the motion carries. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, councillors, and thank you again for your pragmatism. And please all bear in mind when either working on this working group or taking the work forward, the reservations expressed in the discussion on this. Good. We have left one of the earlier motions off to deal with because I understood from conversations outside of the council meeting that there was substantial input that Yoav in particular wanted to make and others may join him. So that is item number 4. So I'll call councillors to please go back to item 4. It's a motion that was in fact made by myself to approve the charter for the translation and transliteration of contact information. And so let's move to that item now. Yoav, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Jonathan. First of all, I want to apologize for being late. There was a change in the clock in Israel this week, and it just did a mess in my calendar. In any case, regarding this charter, I spoke a little about it when we asked for the deferral in the last council meeting. As I said, of course, in general, we are not against the motion, but we feel that it is the charter is currently not complete. It's not wide enough. It kind of limits in its wording the work of the working group. Although there are words there saying that it's not limited, but as we know, in many cases, when it's not specifically stated, things are not being covered, and we think that there are a few issues that should be added to the charter. Just to explain, maybe in general, what we're referring to. So the questions are kind of very specific, and we think that it's important to know that to add whether translation transliteration of who is data is needed at all. What are the benefits of that? Is it desirable? And to actually understand what will be the benefit to the entire community, and at the same time, what's going to be the cost for it? So if it's a very small benefit and a very high cost, then maybe we just don't need that. Then there's also currently it states that the working group should decide who should bear. Hello. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Who would decide who would bear the cost? And we think that everything should be discussed here in this PDP. So what are the options? Who should bear it? And getting to the details, and not only who should decide later. And this is certainly a very important issue. If there is going to be a significant cost, should it be mandatory for all domains, or only for the registrants coming from certain countries? Maybe only for specific registries, IDN registries, or for specific registrars. There are different options here. These issues are not stated in the charter. Will it be required for existing domains? If yes, at what circumstances? What will be required from the registrars in terms of the WHOIS validation? Now there's going to be WHOIS in different languages. Is it actually feasible? Maybe it's not possible to do validation that way. So these are very important questions that we believe the working group of the PDP should discuss and should be added to the charter. And what I suggest is that, Jonathan, maybe you can withdraw the motion, and then so we send it back quickly to a little more work of the working group, of the drafting team, and then vote on it in our next meeting in Buenos Aires. I think that will be the fastest way to make the change and still keep this going, in a few weeks. Thank you.
Thanks, Yoav. Speaking in my capacity as chair, you'll know I'm pretty passionate about trying to improve the way in which we do things, the speed with which we work, and the efficiency with which we deal with things. And in fact, that was one of the reasons why I agreed in my capacity as a councillor to put this motion onto the council's plate in the first place. Hearing your concerns and having discussed it with you, thinking as maker of the motion and hearing your concerns, I'm certainly open to do that. Before confirming that, though, I'd like to hear from Ching, whose hand is up, and in case anyone else has a response to this. But I'm hearing any comments on your input here. I see there's quite a queue coming up. So Ching, Maria, Alan, Falk are all in the queue. Let's hear from you in that order. Ching, please.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let me start by saying that the registry stakeholder group, we had a chance to once again to review this charter, and at this point we would like to make our just make sure that we offer our support to this PDP, but also at the same time we share a similar concern brought up by UOF. My personal feeling and also some years working on the areas of IDN and also the IDN related issue is that I think moving forward with this motion, this PDP actually signifies the council. At the council level, we are helping in particular the IDN GTO, the applicants, to make sure that I mean they don't work on a rope and put them into a operational risk. I won't go into much of the details of that. Introducing new ideas and also incorporating languages into the DNS system does require a lot of considerations from different stakeholder groups. So although the registry would like really like to move forward with this motion, we share similar concern that UOF has brought up, and look forward that in the next few weeks we can all work together and work with in particular the drafting team to make sure that this motion can be reintroduced in the Buenos Aires meeting. Thanks.
Thanks, Ching. I'll just, before going to Maria in the queue, I'll emphasize that there are not weeks, but it's probably days. It's around 10 days before we have to get a new motion before the council. So this is really extremely urgent if we are to make any modifications as proposed. Maria.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Maria here. I really appreciate that, you know, these are very significant issues that the registrars have raised, and I have a lot of sympathy for them. But I do also want to raise the fact that the drafting team has done a considerable amount of work on this issue, and I understand that since last month's deferral, there hasn't been any contact with them to discuss it and modify any of their work. So, you know, if we do decide to defer again, I would like to be sure that there's going to be some positive and proactive steps taken to work with the drafting team, given that they've done quite a lot of work on this already, and we, you know, we all want to see it work in a fairly efficient way. That's all.
Thanks, Maria. It's a very good point, and you know, it's this speaking, I guess, in my capacity as chair, I'm reluctant to see things that slow down the process. And you are right; we should indeed be making direct reference to the drafting team. If the council's role is ultimately to either approve or express significant concerns, just to be absolutely clear, what I understand is being proposed is not a further deferral, but I am being asked in my capacity as maker of the motion to withdraw the motion and potentially resubmit the motion based on a modified charter in consultation with the drafting team, and this obviates the need for, obviously, the council to attempt to do any redrafting, which I think would be inappropriate. So that's what's being proposed by you, is that I, in my capacity as maker of the motion, withdraw it and then potentially resubmit it based on a revised charter. I'll go to you, Alan, next in the queue.
Thank you very much. Related to what Maria said, I deeply regret the fact that when you accepted the deferral last time, you said that the issue should be raised on the mailing list so they could be discussed and other parts of the council could understand what the concerns were, and that didn't happen. And I think that's very unfortunate. It's added an extra several weeks to the process with little benefit. I would like to hope that if you follow the request and resubmit it, that that resubmitted motion is not eligible for another deferral. Otherwise, this is going to go on, you know, essentially forever. I would also request that if any changes are made, that they directly address the issue of the alternatives to not requiring translation, transliteration, and that is, given that we still have a 7-bit ASCII WHOIS system, regrettably it wasn't changed as it should have been many years ago, and there are ICANN requirements to post WHOIS information, which is accepted from the registrants in IDNs. What are they proposing as the alternative? And because I don't think we can leave the whole issue up in the air past this PDP. So defer not doing anything without addressing how ICANN's regulations are to be followed, I think, is a problematic issue. And I'm speaking not on behalf of the ALAC, but from the perspective of the ATRT, who has looked into these details in some detail because of the WHOIS report, where motions associated with this were quite high profile. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. You, as a veteran of the process, you'll be aware that the deferral is at the discretion of the chair. And in that respect, I note your comments, and take them on board. Just to remind everyone that a drafting team is focused on the scope of the PDP, not the outcomes. So that's important in any related discussion around this. Maria, is your hand up still from previously?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll put it down.
Thanks, Maria. No problem. So seeing no other comments on this and hearing the concerns, which as chair I share, I think you know how, all of you know how passionate I am about trying to work as efficiently and effectively as possible, and this is certainly not the most efficient process. But nevertheless, there seem to be substantial concerns. So as maker of the motion, I'll accept the request to withdraw it. And then as chair, I will strongly encourage anyone on the council, I understand that Ching and Yoav, you are both members of the drafting team, to put your full effort into getting this proposed modification to the charter in shape as quickly as possible, such that I or someone else appropriate can remake the motion in time for the deadline to consider in Buenos Aires for the sake of the work of the drafting team, the council, and all of our efforts on internationalization. So I accept the request to withdraw the motion and accordingly withdraw it. I think for formality's sake, I should also check, or for the sake of due procedure rather than formality, I should check with Zahid, as seconder of the motion, that he is indeed happy for this to be withdrawn under the specific circumstances that have been presented. Zahid, are you still with us?
Hi, this is Zahid.
Thanks, Zahid. I think I hear you confirming that acceptance. If you could double confirm in the chat, but I think
that's fine.
Okay, thanks, Zahid. Thank you very much. So the motion is withdrawn. There's no further discussion, and let's get on with working on this via the drafting team as appropriate as soon as possible. Next up, we switch to prospective improvements to the policy development process. And you will note, those of you that have been keeping an eye on this, that Marika has updated the table to provide reference points to the draft recommendations of the ATRT2. So it's interesting to me, when I looked at this strikes me that this is potentially an opportunity for relevant feedback from the council, in fact, into the draft recommendations of the ATRT2, and perhaps subject matter for our discussion with them
which is proposed for Buenos Aires. So it gives us an opportunity to directly engage with the ATRT2 on these points. Marika, I don't know if your audio is sufficient quality that you want to make any remarks on this. Please let me know if you'd like to make any comments or input on this before I turn it over to any further discussion from the Council.
Yeah, this is Marika. I hope is my audio okay? I'll just try, and otherwise just interrupt me, and I can continue in the chat or Mary can step in. I think the only thing I would like to point out is that the ATRT recommendations that are listed here are not the only ones that relate to the PDP. There are others there, so I would really like to encourage the Council to look at their report, and specifically the section that deals with recommendations to the GNSO PDP. The ones that I've picked out from the report are those that aligned were fairly similar or had some similarity to the ones that we are discussing as part of this, you know, GNSO improvement effort. So just to clarify that, and as I think explained last time as well, what I've done in the table, following a suggestion I think that came from Maria, put in the recommendations in the table, provided already some feedback in there that was brought to us, I think, from two meetings ago, already indicated as well some possible changes as a result from that feedback, and then looking at the proposed implementation. And I think it's really back on the Council's table to provide further feedback and input on this to really see which ones, if any, you think we should move forward with to try out and see if those are options that will really help improve the current under the current framework for the GNSO PDP.
That's a good point, Marika. Thank you. There's an additional column, which is possible changes based on Council feedback. There was the original proposed improvement in column one. There was the Council feedback in column two, and then possible changes in column three. So my opinion is, as chair, is that this is a critical piece of work that I would like to share with others as much as possible. And by others, I'm thinking of within the broader community, the board perhaps, the GAC perhaps, and start to advertise this concept of A, our willingness to continuously improve, and B, what we're actually doing about it. Maria, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. First of all, I want to say give personal thanks to Marika I think she's crafted a really, really workable compromise and just a practical solution to my concern, which was of staff being sort of the default option for drafting charters. And I think what Marika has proposed is really sensible and a nice compromise. So wanted to say thank you for that. And I withdraw my concerns. Secondly, I did wonder, just in terms of where we're going with this and who we might be consulting, is there a role for the policy implementation working group on this? I know they're just hitting the ground running at the moment and going to be going for a year. So I wonder, is it worthwhile maybe to add a fifth column to this document saying who we might be talking to and when, and even perhaps looking at what are the proposed improvements that we could start with straight away? For example, looking at increasing the pool of PDP working group volunteers, and which are items that might need further consultation or at least discussion and socialising with other parts of the organisation. Thanks.
Thanks, Maria, and thanks for trying to assist with a way forward with this. Personally, I'm sure Marika feels the same. It would be useful to try and make some concrete progress here. Alan, I see your hand is up.
Just a quick comment. As a member of the Policy and Implementation Working Group, we don't plan to be working for years.
Sorry, it's Maria. I heard it was one calendar year to run, but I could be wrong on that.
Well, I don't think one can predict these things, but our intent is to work as expeditiously as possible.
Yeah.
John, I see your hand up. Is up. Let's go to you.
Right. So one of the things that strikes me is whether or not we could take a step or two that would play to the dynamics of human behavior. Part of what we're talking about here is accelerating the process without putting a deadline on it. Because of that, our hands are a little tied. But I want to focus on item number four, where we require working group representative participant from each stakeholder group constituency. Mm-hmm. And note that my hypothesis is that many working groups are slowed because many quarters of the community are either unaware or over them without notice. And so if we were to move to require active participation or at least active acknowledgement of non-participation, the notion of the Heisenberg principle, right, the system that is under scrutiny is changed, we might wind up taking advantage of human behavior and getting people to focus more on the process and thereby accelerate it. I realize it's more billiards than pool, but I will take almost anything I can get to help accelerate this process.
John, just a comment and a question then. I mean, just to highlight that this document is about opportunities to streamline and improve. Now, those may be different, they may be one and the same. As far as your suggestion, were you suggesting points as to how we might bring elements of this to a conclusion? Because that's clearly one key goal, is to try and produce some concrete outputs from this. I've got a number of hands. I'm not sure if I've got Marika up for a while, so I think I'll go to you next, Marika. Maria, I think your hand up might maybe up from previously, so go Marika, and then wait and see where the queue goes next.
Yes, so this is Marika. Thanks, Jonathan. Basically, to Maria's comment on whether some of these items will be appropriate for policy implementation working group, I think if you look at most of these items, they're really aimed at improving and streamlining the PDP as such. It's not really looking at the policy versus implementation questions, which I think are the specific focus of that working group. However, if you look at the implementation or proposed implementation of these different items, I think the idea, at least from a staff perspective behind these, was that we would just try some of these out. And should we see that would really work and we believe it should become a standing practice, I think then probably the appropriate vehicle would be the SEI, who has as its remit to review the PDP at a certain point in time. And they look, these are some of the practices we've started developing that we think will be helpful to actually incorporate and formalize into the PDP manual, and they could then take that up as, you know, the standing committee task with that role. So that may be a way forward of saying, let's maybe see which ones of these we think we can just start trying out, because I think as noted in the implementation guidelines, none of these contravene what is in the PDP manual. The manual is written in such a way to allow for flexibility and make sure that there is ways of you know, speeding up where you can and, you know, slowing down where you need to. And then again, if we see that certain practices are developing over time, we may want to write them into the rule into the rules, you know, through a body like the SEI, for example.
Thanks, Marika. So your suggestion is that we experiment with these and then potentially refer them, should they be seen to be working effectively, to the SEI. Alan?
Thank you. I just wanted to highlight a couple of the points that came out of the external report that was commissioned by the ATRT, and specifically that the problems associated with getting people to actually commit to work. One of the issues was the vast majority of people who come in, new people who come into a PDP, serve on one PDP and then are never seen again. And both those people and some of the usual suspects, that is people who have participated in PDP after PDP, both tend to feel that their time is not well used on the PDP and that there are efficiencies and ways the process can be made more effective. And I think those are some of the issues that need to be looked at, and I think what Marika is suggesting of try things and maybe they'll work is probably the way to go forward on a lot of these things. There are perceived problems. We have to start reacting to them and just not saying sorry. That's the way we do business. So, thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I've got Maria in the queue, and I'd like to close it at that point because I think we've got a few more items to get through, and the clock's moving on. Maria, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Maria. So I just wanted to suggest maybe that, in 6 months' time or at some particular point, maybe the staff might just to be able to do a quick report to us on what have we tried in the meantime, and what's worked, what hasn't worked, what they suggest we should look at inputting to the SCI, so that we have at least just a sort of a trigger point in the process to revisit some of these issues and then look at whether and how the SCI should become involved. Thank you.
That's a good suggestion. So I think what we need to do then, hearing the various suggestions that come in, I think we need to probably turn this into a series of actions that come out of it and then conclude on that and then review them in a 6 months' time or so. That sounds like a pragmatic way of dealing with things. So that's helpful suggestions. That's a useful conversation on that, and I think it nudges us forward to a practical way forward. So I hope I've captured that adequately. Thanks, everyone, for your contribution to that particular item. Closing off that item 8, then, the prospective improvements to the PDP, the next item deals with the policy issues around string confusion. Now, in some ways, this item is in effect a placeholder because it depended on the output, on the advice we got from the response we got to either our letter to the new GTLD program committee and or a request for advice. Thank you. That the letter from the new GTLD program committee is up, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a matter of record on the mailing list. But essentially, the new GTLD program committee acknowledges our concerns with relating to these outputs, and in particular, how they relate to the GNSO policy recommendations in the 2007 final report on the introduction of new GTLDs. They highlight that they are actively looking at these outcomes and on an ongoing basis, and they will continue to conclude that should they determine that advice from the GNSO would be valuable, that they'll make a request at that time. So my reading of that is that there is, with at least in relation to the current round, there is not much more that we can do as a council on this. So on that basis, this item becomes closed. But of course, before doing so, I'd welcome any comment or input on this. Hearing none, I mean, so my view is that the council's work or prospective initiation of any policy-related work, I mean, this is clearly an open item for the future. There is, but there is a limit to what we can do until we hear a receptiveness from the new GTLD program committee. I think this, unless there's any other suggestions to the contrary, I think we'll leave this item at this stage. Okay, thanks. Let's move on to item 10 then, which is an update on the IGO identifiers PDP process from Thomas Rickert, and any discussion or input he is seeking on that.
Thanks so much, Jonathan, and thanks to all the councillors for allowing me to give you another brief update on the progress that we made with our PDP working group. As you will remember, I have given updates previously to the Council, and again, I would like to highlight the fact that we're still in the process of the public comment period. So everything that I'm reporting to you today is a snapshot of the current status of our work, so it's not final, and I guess that's very important. For those who've observed the public comment period, they will know that the public or the response, the reply period is going to end today. Unless we get more public comments in, the working group has reviewed all public comment that has been received so far. And I would like to take the opportunity to state that the working group has taken public comments that we received very seriously. I would also like to go on record by thanking those that have taken the time to read the draft final report and comment for their efforts. This is very much appreciated and important to what we're doing. We have actually reviewed each and every comment individually and taken a look at what, if any, actions are required. I guess that there are two main themes that we can deduct at the moment from the public comments that we received, and that is, number one, that we as a working group, and I am more than willing to take my share of that, if not all, all the blame for maybe at times not having been sufficiently clear with what the current status of thinking inside the working group is, which sort of led to comments that suggested that the commenter assumed that we would recommend that domain names, existing registrations, could be seized or taken away from registrants. That was certainly not the case. Also, there seemed to be the perception by some commenters that the working group was recommending that the acronyms of intergovernmental organizations should be protected, and that is also not a consensus position of the working group. So when it comes to the final report, I think, and we've discussed this at length during yesterday's working group meeting, that we need to be clearer with what our recommendations are. But at the same time, I think it's important to stress that it is quite a challenge to go through all the recommendations that we came up with and that we've discussed as a working group. I think it's 37 recommendations in total. Now, for the remaining couple of minutes of this slot, I would like to make an attempt and present the recommendations that currently reach consensus level inside the working group and present those to you in an overview type manner. Please do bear in mind that you nonetheless should read all the recommendations on the table individually and digest those. But I guess that, or I do hope that in the next few minutes I will be able to convey to you that there is a general theme or a methodology that might make it easier for you to group the various recommendations and see what the working group is actually up to recommend. I should also state that we are currently working on a way to present the recommendations to the Council. The wording that we chose to make it easier for the reader of the draft final report might not be appropriate to be used as a motion to the Council. For example, references made to reservations as currently included in Specification 5 to the Registry Agreement, but certainly we do not know whether Specification 5 will be Specification 5 of a future Registry Agreement. So some tweaking of the language would need to be done anyway. So in essence, we need to make a distinction between top-level and second-level protections. And as far as top-level protections are concerned, there is consensus at the moment that full name, exact match names of all four organizations, RCRC, IOC, IGOs and INGOs should be ineligible for delegation, and that there should be an exception procedure to go along with that. So no further protections at the top level have reached consensus level. Then, as far as the second level is concerned, again, let's look at exact match full names of the organizations first, and let's look at reserving them in what is now specification 5. And also, let's assume that this should be linked to an exception procedure so that the organizations in question can themselves register names that are on the reserve names list. And such protection is contemplated to be granted to the RCRC, IOC, and IGOs, not to the INGOs. So, again, that would just be the subset of the three organizations, exact match, full names to be put on the reserve names list. Again, at the second level, there is a recommendation to put certain strings into the trademark clearinghouse as a bulk add to the trademark clearinghouse so that not the organizations themselves have to go and apply for it with the TMCH, but that it is bulk edited. As you know, the TMCH, as it stands, has two services, the Sunrise Service and the Claims Service, and the recommendation in question only deals with the inclusion in the trademark clearinghouse for the Claims Service, not the Sunrise Service. So just inclusion in there and then the benefit of a 90 days claim service. And the proposed recommendations would have the following beneficiaries. That would be the RCRC acronyms as been asked for, and additional full names of, for example, national societies of the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement. Also, that would go for the IGO acronyms. So again, it would be only the inclusion in the TMCH for the purpose of the trademark claim service, and the INGO full names. So no acronyms for the INGOs. So that basically would be the recommendations that reach consensus for the individual organizations. We then have one general recommendation that has reached consensus level, and that is opening up URS and UDRP for those organizations that can't currently use those. And for that recommendation, we would certainly need to tweak that or phrase it differently than you now find it in the version of the final report that you will hopefully know. So we will only be able to recommend that an issue report is requested for the initiation of a PDP. So that is, in essence, what the working group at the moment has as a consensus level. There has been huge debate, or I should say the biggest portion of the time we discussed actually went into the recommendation or the recommendation that was misunderstood to be granting rights to IGOs, or I should better say their acronyms. Because in the working group deliberations, it was my assessment as chair that we would have divergence on that specific recommendation. This was according to the consensus levels as depicted in the working group guidelines, and it was felt by some that divergence did not accurately display the level of support this very recommendation reached, because they claimed that only the INGOs themselves had supported it. So they were in favor of rephrasing the consensus level to something which they called consensus against. And I think that this difficulty of applying the consensus levels as they are in the working group guidelines has proven to be a hurdle for readers of the report, or, you know, our difficulty in presenting the recommendations, which has certainly caused some of the confusions there were. So I guess apart from this difficulty inside the working group to reflect the working group views. I guess there are no substantial difficulties that the working group faced in determining or agreeing on a consensus level. So the set of recommendations that I presented to you, unless something substantial changes according to the remaining public comments that might come in, will most probably be what will go into the final report and then be presented to the council. I would like to conclude by asking councillors whether they can already envisage difficulties with meeting the timeline of us discussing this during the weekend session in Buenos Aires and then taking a vote during our meeting in Buenos Aires, and should there be questions or should there be the need to discuss this further, I, as chair, would be more than happy to join you and your respective groups to hopefully clarify things, and I will also invite volunteering working group members to help with this task, because certainly as chair I can play my part, but the essence of the work is done by the working group members, and therefore I would also like to invite them to participate in that process.
Thanks, Thomas, for that comprehensive update and for obviously all of your substantial work you've done within the working group, which is evident by the complexity and the outcome. So really, I mean, the bottom line here is that this is going to come up, all being as you currently anticipated, in substantially similar form before the council for discussion on the weekend sessions and voting on the Wednesday in Buenos Aires. And you would very much like to hear or flush out any concerns or issues as soon as possible so that they can be dealt with as soon as possible. And I don't need to remind everyone of quite what a high-profile issue this seems to have been or become. Any comments, questions, or input for Thomas? Thanks. I'm not seeing any. Thomas, thank you very much for that input. I guess just to further underline the requirement to be for all councillors to be as informed as possible, thanks to Thomas's input, and to make sure that your relevant groups are such that you are in a position to vote on what is an unusually multifaceted output. So please do take this as seriously and comprehensively as you possibly can, so we're in a position to make an informed vote should that be appropriate in Buenos Aires. Okay, that's item 10 on our agenda dealt with, and the final item, apart from our closing item of any other business for which I've had no current proposals to include items, is to deal with item 11, that is the planning for Buenos Aires, including the weekend session, the meetings with other groups, and I guess ultimately our second Friday meeting as well. So, Wolf Ulrich, I think I will hand over to you to raise any issues, concerns, or points of information you would like to raise about the planning, and I'll take this opportunity, in case I forget later, to thank you once again for the effort you've made to date, and I'll continue to do so to ensure smooth and effective functioning of our meetings in Buenos Aires. Over to you, Wolf Ulrich.
Thanks, Jonathan. So, I will focus on the weekend sessions first. Well, I lost Adobe, but I have that plan in front of me. So I can say we have almost the agenda ready for the weekend. I would say there is something as it happened usually to be shifted depending on schedule of others participating in our meetings, but it's more or less that what it is at the time being right now. So one open, so I have also confirmation as well from the GAG for a slot from FADI and from the board. And what you have to do is to fill up these slots with issues you would like to discuss with those persons or groups on the one hand. So regarding the GAG, the schedule itself is a little bit open still, but it may remain as it was before I put the last version together of the the schedule. So it may remain as it was after the ICANN board on Sunday afternoon. But you know, that's just the question of scheduling between GAG and us. The one question which is open is to fill up those meetings with these items. And the other question is, there is, we have a request from the ATRT too to meet the council, there is, as the ATRT 2 is not able to convene over the weekend, so then to meet the council, but they were asking whether we could meet them at one part of our Wednesday meetings, and that is a question we should discuss and should find an answer. Is that of our interest, and with regards to other items we have to discuss on Wednesday, is there time enough to meet the ATRT 2 and to provide a slot to them? So that's it for the moment. Yes.
Okay, thanks, Wilfried. Let me make one brief comment on the Wednesday meetings. Then it's worth informing the council of what went on behind the scenes there a little bit. There have been some issues with when and how the council meets on a Wednesday, both timing and location. What we have agreed with the meeting organisers is that the council, after a series of compromises that probably can't go into now, is that the council has a very good high-profile slot of 2 hours right in the middle of Wednesday in the primary meeting function area. What that means to me is that puts some stress and emphasis on the content and quality of the council meeting. I'd very much like to achieve a high-quality, relevant content meeting for our public meeting. But in addition, we have a second adjacent slot where the council can meet, because typically the council meetings have been scheduled for 3 hours or even more at times. So we have a two-hour slot in the main function area at which we'll conclude the meeting and then open up a second meeting to deal with more administrative or other matters. And there we have an opportunity, I think, Wolf Ulrich, that's what we're talking about, to meet with the ATRT2 as part of that second session. Personally, I think if that is the case, I'm very receptive to that. So, Wolf, I hope I've got that right in posing the question in that way, and both providing the council with the information on scheduling and posing the question. Could you just confirm that that's what we're talking about?
Yes, you're right. That's we should think about, you know, whether the ATRT is, you know, this issue should be discussed or discussed with them on Wednesday in our second slot.
So perhaps the initial guidance from the council is if anyone has any strong feelings either for or against the council meeting with and engaging with the ATRT too. Personally, I'm in favour of looking at the ATRT 2 report, and to the extent, as Marika touched on earlier, there are recommendations that impact on the work and activities of the council, and the policy-making processes within the GNSO seems highly relevant for us to meet with the ATRT 2. So any comments or points on support for that would be gratefully received. Yes, agreed. Maria puts in the chat that we should deal with those items before. One of the thoughts I had there was to actually perhaps have an energetic counsellor lead on this and perhaps work either together with staff or together with one or more other counsellors to take a table of items that we could usefully discuss and provide feedback. And if we do the prep work on that in the next few weeks, so I don't know if there's anyone who's willing to volunteer to lead on this subject. That would be great if we could do that. I've seen others like the CCNSO do this quite effectively, where one person takes a lead and both on email and in discussion with the council. So are there any volunteers to lead on this? Maria, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I've talked myself into this one. I would volunteer if nobody else wishes to take it on, and I would try to do so as actively and eagerly as possible.
Wonderful, Maria. That would be great. And your near namesake, Marika from staff, has privately volunteered to me to help support that effort. So I think we could do something quite coordinated and structured here, which would be great. And that could lead to an effective interaction with the ATRT group, and that's great. So thank you very much for that. Any other comments? I see Wolf Ulrich. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Two comments. Maria, thank you that you are doing this. Are you going to, expect that you are going also to share your ideas with on the council list so that we could comment on that and maybe give some ideas. I would like to participate in that process. That's the first thing. The other thing is I would like to draw your attention to the very first item we have on our agenda at the weekend. It's a Q&A session with regards to the applications for the council chair. I think that I put it in front of that of the whole agenda because I think that is a good initiator, you know, to starting this discussion, the overall discussion on council with that. At the time being, you know, you have read that the contracted party house had put forward Jonathan as well as applicant. And I would like to ask my colleagues from the non-contracted parties house were to get back to return to their respective groups as well. Since the deadline is now extended until the 5th of November, to put forward also a candidate for the chair from our house. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. And I guess I can comment that at the moment I am nominated, and you will have seen I've accepted that nomination from the contracted party's house. I guess my understanding is twofold. One, it's not absolutely necessary to have a second nomination, but certainly it's good to highlight that is now extended to make sure that there is time should that be required. And second, in the event that there is more than one, we'll have the Q&A session as we did before. And even if I am the sole nominee, I'll more than happily participate in that slot and deal with it as a Q&A. So those are my thoughts and responses there. What else is there on it? There's that second Friday session. It's worth highlighting, and the weekend sessions. There's a couple of things that exist on our action items list relating to the Buenos Aires meeting, and what we intended to do, and I now think the time is right to do so, is invite the stakeholder group and constituency chairs, and of course any other colleagues, but we agreed in Durban to formally invite them to the weekend sessions to emphasize the fact that these are GNSO working sessions, and the broader the participation in those weekend sessions, the more valuable they can potentially be. So I will commit to now putting that invite out as part of our action items. And second of all, we said we would inform the stakeholder group and constituency chair that we were no longer expecting formal updates at the start of the council meeting, but any written input would be welcome. So I'll include that. And then finally, I will remind the same group that we are hoping for and expecting that they will participate in the second Friday session, which is this induction and orienteering session for the new council. So there's an agenda being worked on at the moment, and that'll come out very shortly now. But just to remind councillors or inform you if you haven't been so informed before, that the day will kick off with a meeting to include stakeholder group and constituency representatives in addition to the councillors, such that we can get some broad as possible input into the views of the role, function and effectiveness of the council at the kickoff to that meeting. And following that, we'll work as a council for the rest of the day on through an agenda and finish that off with a dinner and then a final overnight stay before making our separate ways on the Saturday at the end of that meeting. So I'm really hoping it's going to be a good meeting and an attractive agenda that you'll all enjoy participating, even though we'll be pretty worn out by the end of the week's work. Joy, thank you. I see your note in the chat. We're coming to a natural end anyway, so thanks for your participation. Can I have any comments on any additional business under item 12 then, unless, Wolf, we haven't concluded. Item 11 for you? Have you got outstanding questions on item 11, the Buenos Aires meeting, that haven't been answered? Are there any other items of additional business that need to be covered in the meeting? Right, well, it then remains to me to thank all of you once again for your participation. This meeting seemed to come up pretty quickly after the last one. We've got through a number of items. I think we're in pretty good shape heading towards Buenos Aires, but please keep a close eye on the mailing list, contribute, and in particular, anything that's required for Buenos Aires or in advance of the motions coming up, like this work with the drafting team for the resubmission of the motion on transliteration, please contribute and participate as much as you possibly can. I know all of our agendas get very busy in the run-up to the meeting. Thanks all. See you in person in Buenos Aires and on the email list in the meantime.
Thanks, Jonathan. Bye.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you, Jonathan.
Good night.